obedience to God. Obedience to God. We talked about how we need to simply obey God and be obedient to Him. Tonight I want to bring the rest of the message, and it's entitled Disobedience to God. If we can be obedient, we can also be disobedient. Unfortunately, we human beings are like that. There's times in our life that we're obedient to God, and there's times in our life that we're disobedient to God. And I'm sure that you would all agree that there's times in all of our lives that there are times that we are disobedient to God. Most children, and I'll say most children, are not perfect children. Amen? Most children. Many times your children will obey you. But there'll be some times that they won't obey you. There'll be different times in their life as they grow up. They may be just 100% obedient children, and then all of a sudden the next day, they're different. What happened to them? They hit the teenage years, or whatever it is, you know, the terrible twos, or whatever the case may be. Call it anything you want. It's just what it is. It's disobedience. And we're sinners in need of salvation. And I watch the kids. You have kids, and I have kids, and I've got grandkids, and you watch them, and you know they're little sinners. They're beautiful little sinners. They're gorgeous little sinners. They're pretty, and they're handsome, and they're fun, and you laugh with them, and you'll have fun with them. But boy, there are some times they just get to you, and they need some good discipline. Well, that's the way we are. Children are like that, but we're God's children. We might be adults, but we still fall into that same category. Maybe I'm the only one here, but I don't think I am. We all fall into that category. I want to give you four things here tonight about this disobedience to God. But before I give you those four things, we're going to look at some examples in the Bible of disobedience. Is the Bible full of examples? It's full of examples of all kinds of things. You name it, it's in the Bible. If you read that Bible, you're going to see it, and you won't miss it. But there are lots of examples in the Bible. I only have, I don't know how many I got written down here, maybe seven or eight. And there's a lot more than that, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to give you a few. We'll start over there in Genesis chapter 3. You know who I'm going to talk about. Genesis chapter 3. And I'm just going to read a verse. I'm not going to do the whole part. You know the story of Adam and Eve. You know that God told them what to do and what not to do. God told them what to eat and what not to eat. And God made it very clear in chapter 2, in verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God made that clear. Is that clear? You don't need a commentary to figure that out. Adam, you didn't need a commentary to figure that out. You didn't need somebody to explain that. What does God mean by that? You didn't need that. God made it very clear. Spoke right in their language and told them what not to do. Don't eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Prior to that, he said he made all of these trees in verse 16, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. So you look around, Adam, look at all these trees. And can you imagine what they look like? I can't imagine what they look like. We see trees now, especially this time of year. Leaves are changing. It's beautiful. But look around, Adam. All of these trees, everything you see here, it's yours, and you can enjoy it. You can eat freely of it. There's just one. Just one out of the maybe hundreds. I don't know. How many trees do you think was in the Garden of Eden? A few. Hundreds. Probably hundreds. As they looked around at that vast area. Just one. You eat this one, you die. Simple. Maybe even God said something like, Adam, you understand that? Adam may have said, sure, yeah, I got it, and went on his way. And his responsibility was to tell Eve about that, to make sure that she understood also. And so in verse 11 of chapter 3, we see this. And he already ate of the tree, Eve did, and she handed it to him, whatever the fruit was, and he partook of it. And in verse 11 it says, and he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Question mark. Adam, what did you do? Did you eat the tree that I told you not to eat? And obviously he did. Of course, what did he start to do? That woman, the woman whom thou gavest me to be with me, she gave me the tree, gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And so immediately the blame shifting starts, and it's been going on for the last 6,000 years. We're always blaming somebody else for our failures and our sin. We do. Just say amen to that, because at times we do. Maybe not all, but at times we do. But here we see this, it was an outright disobedience to God. Completely, a complete disobedient thing to God. All these trees you can eat, this one don't eat. And what's he do? Eats of that tree. Was that disobedience? Of course it was. It cost the downfall of the entire human race. And we've been living with this situation ever since, for the last 6,000 years. And we go a little further in the Bible. Genesis chapter 19, verse 26. 19:26. You know the story of Lot and Mrs. Lot? The angels made it very clear that when you leave Sodom and Gomorrah, you are not to turn around and look back. Do not look back. It was very, very, it was a very, all of these things that we're going to just briefly look at, they were very simple instructions. It wasn't complicated. It's, you know, don't eat the tree, eat all of these, don't look back. And what do we see in verse 26 of Genesis 19? But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Did she disobey the order from God? Of course she did. Also, we're going to see in all of these that there's consequences for disobedience. Consequences. You disobey, consequence. Have you ever suffered any consequence for your own disobedience? Amen? Probably we all have. I'm sure that we've all suffered something happened in our life. We disobeyed God. We disobeyed our parents. When you disobey your parents, kids, you're disobeying God. Get that. Understand that. When you disobey your teacher, when you lie to your teacher, when you lie to your parents, when you lie to the preacher, you're disobeying God. Look at Leviticus chapter 10, verse 9. Leviticus 10, 9. Leviticus chapter 10, look at verse 9. Verse 1. Did I say? Where did I get 10, 9 from? It's underlined in my Bible. But go back to 10, 1. Leviticus 10, 1. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. That was a command from God that they were not to do this. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them. And they died before the Lord. For what? For disobedience. Did you notice that it upsets God when you're disobedient? God killed these two men because of what they did. God brought death to the entire human race. You say, I don't know if it was that big of a deal to go over there and take fruit off that tree and eat it. It's just some fruit off a tree. It's disobedience. That's what it was. Well, I mean, Mrs. Lot just turned around and glanced, and she had to be turned to it. It was disobedience. Like it or not. When you disobey God, there's consequences. When you disobey your parents, there's consequences. When you disobey the authority, there's consequences. Amen. You break the speed limit and you get caught, there's consequences. Or anything else you do out there, there's always consequences. Look at Numbers chapter 20. Numbers 20, verse 11. Numbers 20, verse 11. Well, look at 10 and 11. 20, 10 and 11. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Now you know the story here, but God told Moses, you're just to speak to the rock, and he ended up hitting and smiting the rock. Moses got so mad at the people of Israel, he decided to take matters into his own hands. The good thing is God still allowed the water to flow out of the rock. And he still ended up giving the thirsty Israelites the water. But Moses never made it to the promised land. Aaron never made it to the promised land. They both died. Now, Moses was 120 years old when he died, but I believe he still died an early death. You read about the account of him climbing up the mountain, and when he got up there, God told him, come up on the mountain. This is it. You're done for, buddy. And so he gets up there, and God kills him. But the Bible says he could still climb. His eyes were not abated, and his strength, he had the strength of a young man at 120 years old. Moses should have gone into the land of promise, and he could have gone into the land of promise if he had just obeyed the Lord. There's consequences when you disobey. Always. I want you to get that in your mind tonight. If it's not there in your mind, there's consequences. Look at Joshua 7. Joshua 7. Joshua chapter 7, verse 1. You know the story of the Israelites marching around the walls of Jericho, or the city of Jericho. And on the seventh day, they marched around seven times, and they shouted and blew the trumpets, and the walls came tumbling down. But prior to going into Jericho, Joshua, under the inspiration of God, made it very clear you are not to touch anything in the city. Everything in the city was to be used in the treasury of the Lord. And God made that very clear through Joshua. And Joshua, I believe, made it very clear to everybody about that whole particular thing. Jump across the page in verse 18 of the previous chapter. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. You're not to take any of this stuff for your own private use. And what does Achan do? Chapter 7, verse 1, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. There's consequences when you disobey God. Achan lost his life that day. Other people lost their life because of Achan's sin. The entire camp of Israel was infected by disobedience because of one man. One man. So often a church can get infected with a horrible disease of sin by the sin of one person or a small group of people. We have to be so careful. 1 Samuel 13:13. I'm just skimming through these quickly. You can go back and study them out further if you want to, but most of you probably know the stories behind all of these individuals. 1 Samuel 13, verse 13, King Saul. King Saul started out as a great king. He really did. He was humble. He was humble in the sight of God. He started off good, but his pride got the best of him. He didn't end his life very well. In 1 Samuel 13 and verse 13, Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. King Saul was told to go take care of all of those Amalekites and wipe them all out, and he didn't do that. He disobeyed. He literally disobeyed the man of God. He disobeyed Samuel. God told Samuel what to tell Saul, and Saul was given the directive. Saul was given the orders from the prophet, from the preacher, from God himself. And Saul thought that he had a better idea. And yet it cost him being king. It cost him his life in the end, a very horrible death. How about Jonah? How about Jonah, chapter 1? Jonah. Where's Jonah? It's right here somewhere. Come on. Come on. There you are. I found you. Jonah, chapter 1. These little prophets back there, sometimes they're hard to find them, aren't they? You ever have that problem? Come on, be honest. It's okay. You can be honest tonight. You can just be honest. Jonah chapter 1, verse 3. Jonah was told, given a directive by God to go to Nineveh. Jonah said, I ain't going. I'm just not going to go. In verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee from Tarshish, flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah disobeyed God. And you know the story of Jonah and how God sent that whale, great fish, the whale. It's a whale. It's a fish, whatever you want to call it. But it was a whale fish. It was a whale fish. It was a fish whale. Right? Amen. It swam in the water and it swallowed Jonah. But Jonah disobeyed God. And Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. And it cost him 3 days and three nights of his life. I think he died in the belly of the whale. God brought him back to life again, resurrected him. But sin will always cost you more than you want to pay. Sin will always take you further than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin will bring trouble that you will never expect. And sin will take you places that you don't want to go. Jonah disobeyed God and it cost him dearly. Now he used him in the end and he brought one of the greatest revivals ever recorded in the history of humanity. But he disobeyed God. These four things, let me give you these four things real quick. We'll be done. Write them down if you want to write them down. Four things. Number one, disobeying God provokes God's anger. I don't know about you, but I don't want to get God angry. We just looked at a few instances, examples in the scriptures that God just, I mean, he wiped some people out and killed them because they simply disobeyed. Disobeyed an order from God. Sometimes I think young people and children think that they can disobey their parents and just get away with it. It's okay. Right? They just disobey. Some kids, young people, teenagers, even adults, think that they can disobey the authorities and get away with it. They can lie and get away with it. They can do what they want to do and get away with it. And you know what? Maybe they will get away with it. Once, twice, maybe a little bit here, a little bit there. But a little here and a little there is going to catch up to you eventually. We need to think about the anger that disobeying God brings to God. And God's anger is always a righteous anger. You can actually have righteous indignation. Go back to Psalms 78. Psalm 78. And we'll see. Disobedience to God provokes His anger. You're going to get God angry and upset with you and me when we disobey God. Now, God loves us, but He's not going to let you or me get away with things like a good parent's not going to let their child get away with things at all. A good parent steps in and takes care of their disobedient child as soon as the child is disobedient. You shouldn't linger and shouldn't wait. You should deal with it right away to get it taken care of immediately. And sometimes God, I know sometimes maybe things don't work out exactly that way where you can deal with it immediately, instantly, and sometimes God had to wait. God waited sometimes to deal with a situation. In Psalm 78 and verse 10, they kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law and forgot His works and His wonders that He had showed them. Marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and He made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime also He led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against Him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. The Israelites provoked God to anger. They tempted God, verse 18, in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, "Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, He smote the rock, and the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can He give bread also? Can He provide flesh for His people?" Therefore, the Lord heard this and was what? Wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel because they believed not in God and trusted not in His salvation. Now, do you like to provoke God to anger? You shouldn't like that. You shouldn't want to do that. You shouldn't ever, ever want to provoke the anger of God. I'm not saying that God's going to send fire down as soon as you disobey Him and what, but listen, sin will find you out. Sin will find you. It will follow you and it will find you if you don't take care of that. Children, you know that you can only get away with stuff with your parents for so long and it's going to catch up with you. Being disobedient to God provokes His anger. Number two, it forfeits God's favor. It forfeits God's favor. Go back to 1 Samuel 13 again. We were just there, I know, but we're going to go back and just look at those verses again. 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, again it says, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." The kingship of King Saul was forfeited because of his disobedience to God. Because of his disobedience to Samuel, when Samuel told him to do something, Saul says, "I'm going to do it my way." Well, we have a lot of Christians like that today. "I'm going to do it my way. I'm not going to do it the Bible way. I don't care what the preacher says. I'm going to do what I want to do. And that's disobedience. And it forfeits the favor of God. Saul, I mean, the Holy Spirit left King Saul and an evil spirit came upon him. Why? Disobedience. Disobedience. Number three, disobedience to God can bring a curse. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy 11. I know we're living under grace. I understand that. We all understand that, don't we? We're living under grace. I know things are somewhat different between the Old Testament and the New Testament, the law and grace. I understand that. But what I'm trying to picture tonight, or try to at least show you tonight, that it doesn't mean, just because we're living under grace, doesn't mean that we can be disobedient to God. I think there's Christians that think that way. Well, you know, hey, I'm under grace. I can do what I want. I got eternal security. Once saved, always saved. I can live my life. I can do what I want. And if I disobey God, well, so what? God won't, you know, hurt me too bad. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. Blessing when you obey. A curse when you don't obey. And then fourth and finally tonight, disobedience brings bitter results. Bitter results. We're reading through the book of Jeremiah. We're almost done with the book of Jeremiah in our daily Bible reading. And I was reminded yesterday, the day before, throughout the entire book of Jeremiah, that Jeremiah, that book, and that prophet went through so much. Because the Israelites were so disobedient to God. Brought about the 70-year captivity with Babylon. Jeremiah was thrown into the pit, in the miry pit. He was beaten. He went through so much. And all he was trying to do is deliver the message that God wanted delivered to the people. And he did. He delivered every time. God says, tell them this. God, do I have to? I think maybe that's not in the Bible, word for word, but I often think, poor Jeremiah, he may have said, God, do I really have to do this? But he did it. He delivered the message. And he made it very clear to the Israelites. There's bitter results when you disobey God. And I wrote four things down here in my notes, but the Philistines oppressed the Israelites horribly. Time and time and time again. God allowed the Philistines, God allowed the Moabites, God allowed all the otherites to come in and overthrow and overrun the Israelites because, read the book of Judges. Just go through and read the book of Judges. Book of Judges is a tremendous example of that where they turned their back on God, they stopped listening to the word of God, and they started to do their own thing. They did that which was right in their own eyes. And God says, okay, here come the Moabites. And the Moabites come in and oppress the Israelites. They finally cry out. They repent to God. They repent and they turn to God. And God sends a deliverer, a judge. And they're doing good for a while the judge is, you know, alive and ruling. And then the judge dies. And then they go right back down the tubes again. And they disobey God again. And God sends anotherite along to deal with them. And it's a constant battle with the Israelites. Several nations rise up. God allows them to rise. And God even causes them to do that to get the attention of his people. God used the Assyrians to oppress the Israelites and carry into captivity into Assyria much of the Israelites because of their disobedience. And again, God used the Babylonians to come in with the Chaldeans and just take Jerusalem and take Israel and burn the city and break down the wall around Jerusalem and literally burn the temple down and took everything away captive into Babylon, several hundred miles to the east of where Jerusalem was in Israel. Took Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego and many others off to that place of Babylon. God used these different things because the Israelites were just disobedient, would not do what God told them to do, would not worship the one and only true God, but started worshiping other gods, false gods, idols, started using their time for themselves. started to lift up other things that were more important than God and the house of God. Does it sound familiar? Sound like we're doing that today? Amen. Even good Christians seem to sometimes do that. Folks, let me just encourage you tonight and challenge you tonight to just obey God. Obey God. Disobedience is going to bring problems. We're constantly telling the kids in the school, we're constantly telling our grandkids, you've got to obey. Stop lying. Be honest. Get your homework done, right? Do what you're supposed to do. Don't pick on somebody else. Obey the bus drivers. Obey the teacher and obey the preacher. And we'll do fine. But when they don't, the wrath of pastor falls. And you'll be in the office. And you'll be sitting there. And I'll be staring at you. Mean look. And there'll be consequences. Disobedience is a terrible thing. It costs many, 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 many hundreds, thousands of people their lives because of disobedience. And today we have sin in our world because Adam and Eve, all those trees, and they go to that one. The one tree that God says, don't do it. You do it, you die. And so we have death today. We have death all around us today. Every day, people are dying. Thousands of people are dying every single day of every day of the year because of the sin of one man. Let's obey God. Let's just do what He tells us to do. If He says go to church, go to church. If He says read the Bible, read the Bible. If He says tithe, tithe. If He says witness, witness. If He says, love your neighbor as yourself, love your neighbor as yourself. If He says, love your brother, love your sister, just be obedient. Let's not be disobedient. Father, thank You again for the Word of God. Thank You for the instructions that we can gain from Your book. Thank You, Lord, for Your blessings. Thank You, Lord, for the way that You do. You deal with people. You deal with all of us, Lord, when we're disobedient. You chastise us.